You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 389 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rollman, coming to you live on this fine Thursday evening. Please forgive me as I am traveling right now, so the sound quality might be a little bit down from what you're used to on the podcast, so I appreciate everybody's patience. I had to travel for some family stuff. All is well there, though, and here we are with a podcast. There is some news to catch up with over the last couple days. I wanted to record on Wednesday, sort of in the midst of all this news, but at the same time, the travel prevented me from doing so, and I want to get another podcast up before the end of the week, before I really start diving into some NBA draft stuff over the weekend and into next week. So first and foremost, I guess, in terms of news, is that Mike Budenholzer is now the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Normally, I would not have led with that nugget at the beginning of the show, just because, you know, Bud's been gone for a while, Lloyd Pierce is now the head coach of the Hawks, etc., etc., but there was a nugget from David Aldridge of NBA.com and TNT right after that announcement, I guess right after that report of Bud taking the Milwaukee job, and that has now been confirmed, of course, that Bud will be starting off in Milwaukee in the near future. With that said, Aldridge's report centered on the Hawks coaching staff and basically indicated that all indications were that Bud was going to be taking Darvin Ham and what I believe he described as most of the previous coaching staff in Atlanta. Darvin was, of course, the lead assistant for Bud since Kenny Atkinson left, and that was a pretty obvious one, honestly. As soon as Bud got announced as getting that job, my assumption was going to be that Darvin was going to be following, because Darvin is a very, very sort of trusted confidant of Bud, and given the fact that he's not necessarily have a relationship with Lloyd Pierce, not a big surprise that he'd be following Bud to Milwaukee. But the notion that the rest of the staff might go with him is certainly worth noting and following if you are a Hawks fan. It is also important to note as well, though, that Chris Fivelmore of the AJC reported that nothing is official on that front in terms of the Hawks assistants actually going to Milwaukee at this point in time. So as of the time of this recording, nothing is official there. I trust Chris's intel on that quite a bit. I think it's definitely fair to say that a lot of the assistants might be going to Milwaukee, but right now, not officially done at this point in time. Speculation-wise, I think it would make some sense for Chris Gent to be a guy who might remain in Atlanta. Gent was famously the only assistant that actually came in under Travis Schlenk's watch, and he also has a relationship with Lloyd Pierce from a previous stop in Cleveland. Aside from that, though, you're talking about Taylor Jenkins, you're talking about Ben Sullivan, Charles Lee, in addition to Darvin Ham. So some names to follow there. I wouldn't blow me away if another guy or two stayed in Atlanta, but if Bud were to want those guys to come, I think obviously there'd be some loyalty there, and Budenholzer would want to assign a staff that is definitely something that he's comfortable with as he takes over a new regime. So something to monitor there. I got a lot of questions in terms of how much of a pivot point this could be for the Hawks, and especially, quote-unquote Hawks University. I do think that was always going to change under Lloyd Pierce in some ways. Of course, player development's going to be a focus. I think he's been very clear about that since he was introduced, as well as Travis Schlenk saying the same thing. But the personalities were always going to change, because if you have a head coach, things are going to change in a big way, and Hawks University can still live on under Lloyd Pierce. But I think most of the guys who've been around probably won't be around, and that's something to follow in the near future. Once those things come out publicly, I will certainly be sure to hit on those. But overall, I wouldn't be worried necessarily about this. The direction was always going to change, and because Lloyd Pierce has that reputation as a player development guy, I think it might be a little bit overstated to start worrying about Hawks University, quote unquote. But of course, we'll learn much more in the future. And it looks like at least Darvin Ham, if not a couple of other guys, will be following Budenholzer to Milwaukee. Next thing on the agenda, and probably sort of the only thing on the agenda in terms of the rest of the show, it's going to be a pretty short podcast considering my setup here, but I wanted to at least talk to you guys a little bit about what's going on in the world. A lot of mock drafts have hit between Tuesday night and, of course, now Thursday evening. About 48 hours worth of mock draft content has been out there, as well as the NBA Draft Combine has been flowing on Thursday. Initially, we saw sort of a mad rush of Marvin Bagley projections to the Hawks at the number 3 overall pick, as well as the fact that basically the betting markets are sort of weighing in on the fact that it's going to be, all indications are it's going to be DeAndre Ayton in at number 1 and over number 2, as well as Luka Doncic probably at number 2 overall. So those guys, continue to be the favorites to be 1 and 2 off the board. In fact, an offshore betting site, Bovada, actually came out with DeAndre Ayton as a pretty heavy favorite to go number 1 overall, with Doncic slightly below that. and no other player actually even named. It was basically just the field aside from those two guys. But a lot to sort of take in there. ESPN, of course, famously, we talked about this on a previous podcast, but Jonathan Givony of ESPN, formerly of Draft Express, referenced the fact that Marvin Bagley was actually a favorite of the Hawks, and I referenced that, you know, before in mid-April. Bivamore of the AJC basically said that you know, he had actually heard that the Hawks weren't necessarily as high as Marvin Bagley. Some more fuel to the fire there in terms of one other prospect came today on Thursday from Michael Cunningham of the AJC. He was definitely smart and wise to know that this was not necessarily, you know, all-encompassing a prediction or anything like that, but he did note that he has now heard on two different occasions that the Hawks are actually very, very high on Jaren Jackson Jr. of Michigan State. Actually, you know, in Cunningham's reporting, he actually noted that he had heard that they preferred Jackson to Bagley before the lottery, and then they actually heard the same thing again after the NBA GM meetings on Tuesday, according to a league source in that way. And he of course, went on to break down Jackson versus Bagley and all that fun stuff, as well as the fact that the Trae Young portion of the Jonathan Givony report that I hit on 2 days ago after the lottery, just that the Hawks were, very intrigued about Young and potentially would have been looking at him if they had picked lower than three. That was also accurate in the way that Cunningham was hearing things, and he, of course, noted this is all rumors. It's sort of silly season. That's something I want to talk about now as sort of a bridge here, is that, you know, it's been May. We're talking about, you know, more than a month. It's actually 5 weeks from today is the NBA draft. So you're going to hear a lot of information here. There was an entire news cycle on Thursday, basically, about Luka Doncic. You know, one thing where he basically just kind of said, I want to keep playing basketball, and wasn't necessarily ready to commit to that being his final 2 year league games. And basically a pretty run-of-the-mill comment from a player, just in the way that a college basketball player might, you know, deny the fact that they were going to go to the NBA after the NCAA tournament. Pretty much a similar thing to that became an entire news story about how he could be trying to avoid the Sacramento Kings. That came out because ESPN's, basically the Woj podcast, at least referenced the fact that Doncic would be able to if he wanted to. They were not reporting this was going to happen, but they were just sort of throwing out there the fact that Doncic could control his own destiny to some extent by the fact that he has more leverage than a traditional prospect would, because he can go back and sign a long-term deal if he wanted to in Real Madrid. He does not have to come over this season, for instance. If he wanted to avoid Phoenix or Sacramento, if you wanted to do that in order to get somewhere else, he could sort of assert that leverage. So that reporting turned into an entire news cycle, and by the end of the day on Thursday, Doncic's agent had to come out and basically sort of damp it all down and on the record fashion. So one of those things where basically, it's just an example of information flying fast and furious at this point in time. And between now and late June, we'll probably hear a lot of different things about Marvin Bagley and Jaren Jackson and Mo Bamba, who has a 7'10 wingspan, which is freakish, that you hear about. Even Trae Young. Lots of different guys that the Hawks could be interested in. I think we're at least between now and then going to hear at least one rumor about the Hawks trading up and one rumor about the Hawks trading down, probably more than one on both accounts. So I would just stress to everybody to sort of preach patience here. The fact that, you know, even Cunningham was sort of pointing that out in his own fashion, just saying, look, you know, everybody's going to hear different things. He's definitely heard different things. He's more plugged in than I am. I'll be the first to say that about MC. He has better sources than I do around the organization. But at the same time, it's very interesting to hear sort of that dichotomy, because ESPN came out with a pretty aggressive report about Bagley, and that was not necessarily refuted, but you know, the fact that MC's hearing the exact opposite, at least in terms of Jackson versus Bagley, is very interesting. Because Jackson is, of course, the guy who I would say is the biggest competition for Bagley at the number three spot, if indeed Ayton and Doncic go one and two in some order. So Bagley versus Jackson is going to be a talking point for a long time here. Of course, there'll be some people that want to argue for Bamba or Trae Young or Michael Porter Jr., but I think the main one-on-one that you're going to hear is between Bagley and Jackson, and this sort of adds fuel to the fire in that way. So just something to at least keep an eye on in the future here. Not a ton else going on in Hawksland because of the fact that it's now going to be actually offseason. For the last month, we've actually been pretty spoiled in terms of the actual content wheel flowing around the Hawks between the coaching search, all the Bud rumors, and et cetera, et cetera. But for now, it's basically life without Budenholzer, life with Lloyd Pierce at the helm, and the draft now being a month away. Aside from that, the only other bit of news that's come out between Tuesday night and Thursday afternoon / evening is the schedule for the Utah Summer League. The Hawks, of course, that was already reported, actually sort of announced by Travis Schlenk on a broadcast at the end of the season. But now the schedule is sort of out there. The Hawks will be playing three games in Utah on July 2nd, July 3rd, and July 5th. No big surprises there in terms of the actual location or the times, but they'll be facing off with the Memphis Grizzlies, the San Antonio Spurs, and the Utah Jazz in that order. Memphis is going to be a very interesting game because it's going to pit two top five picks against each other. Could be Bagley versus Jackson, which would be very interesting in a lot of ways if that actually ends up sort of holding chalk there and those two guys. But keep an eye on Utah. I will not probably be in attendance for that because it's a way that the schedule is going to break down. I'm still trying to get there if possible, but well, that's going to be streamed and televised live. So you'll have every opportunity to watch that, as will I. And just something to follow away there. And one other very, very quick note that has very little analysis to it is that Alpha Kaba is expected to play for the Hawks in the 2018 Summer League, whether that be in Utah and Las Vegas. Travis Schlenk said that on the radio actually earlier this week via Kale Chenard of Hawks.com, passed that information along. No big surprise there. The number 60 overall pick last year is going to be coming over to play again. I think if you ask me if I thought Kaba was ever going to play for the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta in an NBA game, I would tell you no. But it's he's an asset. He's one of those guys where he didn't play a whole lot this season overseas. Did play, I think, 40-ish games and contributed at least reasonably well in the A-League over there in France. But at the same time, that's just something to note for the Summer League roster. We'll have plenty of Summer League talk between now and early July. But the draft is going to be the central focus between now and the draft actually arriving. And once we get some Dennis Schroeder news, I do understand that there was a bit of at least waves being made on Twitter in some ways. I want to say educated guessing between some tweets out there between Dennis Schroeder and Torian Prince. And, there was, I believe the good folks at the NBA on NBC always put that together in an eyebrow raising way. I'm not going to necessarily go all in on that story. I don't think that Dennis's comments are going to go over super well in the ones that we addressed in the previous podcast about the fact that he might want out of Atlanta in the near future. I don't think those are going to be going over well in the locker room. And I think that might be a prelude to that, but I'm not going to tell you with any certainty that I know sort of the background and feelings about that right now. So if you want to poke around the internet and you sort of gather the rumor mill, by all means, for now, until we get some more concrete information, I'm going to stay out of that one. Just want to at least reference that because I know I'm going to hear about it if I don't talk about it. So there you go on the Dennis Schroeder front. And that's going to probably be it for today's podcast. I really appreciate everybody listening to the show as always. It's been huge, and I really appreciate everybody sort of jumping in and subscribing and downloading and telling friends that the show continues to grow. And I greatly appreciate that, especially as we get into draft season, because that's something that I really, really enjoy. In fact, I actually have my own mock draft up this week over at dimemag.com, so check that out. They have given me the power to own the mock draft space and the NBA draft space between now and late June. That's not just Hawk stuff. That's sort of league wide. So if you want the whole big picture, I guess I recommend checking that stuff out, as well as there's plenty of content around the league and around the internet between now and then. But sort of a shameless plug there. Check that out. Follow me on Twitter at BTRoll and follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Hawks. And we will see you guys next week. Barring some sort of crazy news, we'll see you guys on Monday.